How was jiu-jitsu?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah. John Boone shared some secrets with us. I'm sure he's still
not all
keeping plenty of them for himself. But yeah, he shared some. There were definitely some eye-opener moments there.
Working close guard.
Close guard.
Which is like one of the first things you learn in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, in foundations.
But there's always so many holes still,
yes,
you know, in your game. So just kind of dialing in just the position of close guard and then also some attacks from close guard.
Yeah.
I think it's one of my least favorite positions, especially if I'm paired with somebody that can barely get my legs around.
Putting someone
close. Which I have short legs. Yeah. Yep. So it's like this, I end up with like that like contact burn on the tops of my feet. Then I'm just like, this is terrible. I hate this.
Yeah.
It's not my best.
Yeah, I had the hardest time putting anybody in a closed guard because I wasn't actually getting my legs out wide enough and actually like splaying out my knees. I'm like, this is stupid. Like, I have like midget legs for the first 2 months is what I thought.
Really long legs. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, my partner was Denver, who's like 6'8".
Oh, yeah. No, and his legs are like a spider.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no problem at all. So it was good. But I want to thank you guys for coming on. This is pretty awesome. I thought it'd be fun to talk about at least a little bit about, like, you know, we both homeschool. We're both self-employed. And when I say both, I mean us as a like couples and family and whatnot. And but we've also both worked for other people as well, right? So where you guys are now with what you're doing with the Healthy Rebellion and Element and everything else you're involved in, what's one of the things that you've found that you enjoy most about being, I guess you can call it self-employed, you know what I mean? But really having more control over your day and what you do in your day-to-day life.
I mean, for the first time in my experience of all this, like, Nikki's been amazing in that had I not met her, I would be living under a bus and, you know, like, in a bus, under a bus,
down by the river.
If I was doing well for myself, maybe.
You'd
otherwise,
be
someplace
waterfront property.
Even worse. Yeah. But it's like we've always wore a bunch of different hats, and usually Nikki gets to wear the hats that are, you know, made out of the toilet seat liner. Like, she gets the shit jobs generally because I'm kind of the front person, and so she just gets stuck with a lot of stuff that neither one of us really like that much, but, you know, the ops and admin type things. And
yeah,
so it's like, well, I'm doing that, and so I guess you get to do this, and definitely not like her dream thing. She was a co-founder of a tech startup, and that was a chunk of time where she
I didn't know that
got to
We did. We were sort of a competitor for Mindbody Online, so
we
used that software in our gym. We were one of the very first CrossFit affiliates to implement Mindbody Online, and then I sort of started talking about it with a lot of affiliates when we'd travel for nutrition seminars and all that kind of thing. So kind of brought CrossFit to Mindbody, but we're the way CrossFit gyms are set up, it was challenging to kind of implement, like getting people to actually scan in, because sometimes you're going through a roll-up door. There's not like a dedicated entrance.
There's
like,
no desk.
Right. And so we did an app that was on top of Mindbody, allowed people to mobily check people in. And then we decided to kind of do our own version. And that's a long, sordid tale. But
but that was a chunk of, that was after my book had done pretty well and I was kind of burned out. Yeah. And she had a chance to jump into this. And so what we had just had Zoe. And so I was kind of, you know, mainly stay at home dad and kind of put my blog and podcast onto maintenance mode. But that was cool because she really enjoyed that. Like, that was a super cool period of her life. And I got to do some different things, but currently with Element it, as kind of like our main focus, like I just get to do the things that I'm good at.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the first time in my life that that's the only thing I had to do. And
with, and because we have a great team with supporting Element, like I'm not doing the admin or any part of that. Like it's, we've got professionals who are very good at what they
These
do.
These are people who went to Yale to learn how to do that stuff, which is why we don't sell it out of the trunk of our car.
So, right.
Out of the bus that you would live in.
Right.
So, I mean, that's interesting in that we're, you know, I guess still entrepreneurs, self-employed, whatever, but we've got this team now that allows me in particular to just do the things that I'm really good at. And what's been cool about it, and it's so weird because I'm used to being on some sort of like a production schedule. It's like, okay, I need to write this many blogs and do this many podcasts or whatever. And I still do that. I do some blogs. I do some podcasts for Element, like coming on the show is one of the ways that we get word out about it and everything. But I'll just think, like, I just have some time to, like, I go to jiu-jitsu and I'm like, oh, who's somebody that could be involved in this? Or like, Nikki's been reading up on NFTs and right. you know, the non-fungible tokens. Uh-huh. Like, is there some way that we could, like, offer that to our community? And so get to actually be creative. And
that's so
I'm
cool.
not just in this, like, grind of needing to produce material. Mm-hmm. You know, so my work is super non-linear. Like, what's... So we just hooked up with like Brad Luden, who was introduced to me by Tim Ferriss, mm-hmm. and Tim had called me because he had a couple of questions about something and he discovered that we were living in this like Flathead Valley area. He's like, one of my best friends lives there, Brad Luden. So you got to hook up with him. And then he's the founder of this thing, First Descents, which is this, it's a series of different fundraising companies that help people and their families manage cancer therapy.
Oh, basically. Wow.
Yeah. So this is how I got involved with Tap Cancer Out.
And oh, that's right. Okay. You know, I saw it on your bag. Yeah. I was like, what is that? I see it on your bag. Okay, yeah. Got it.
So I got plugged into that. But this is something that's just like, you can't pull one of those out of your backside once a week. You know, it's just like, so I'm in this spot where I can kind of take 23 years of shaking hands and kissing babies and getting to know people and just kind of be a little bit creative about what comes up. And there's also still just a little bit of chop wood, carry water on producing blogs for, you know, original content so that we have good SEO ranking and all that type of stuff. But it's been really cool for me in that it's been a little bit weird too, where it's like, I do kind of have free time now at moments, you know, we homeschool, we do this, we do that. So stuff's kind of blocked up, but I just have a chance to go sit down and think who do we know? What could we do? You know, maybe we'll do a retreat and, you know, we're chatting about doing some stuff around that. So that's been really cool for me. And then, you know, we're still trying to figure out exactly how or if we grow this community called the Healthy Rebellion and what do we do about that? Is that scalable or not scalable? Do we even want to scale it? Like, it's got about 1,000 people in it and people love it and it's great. And we have an amazing team that helps support it. And we're like, maybe this is good enough, you know, and you throw many more people in there and you start getting a bunch of assholes. And
yeah.
There's goes
kind of like
shit,
a cap on
like
yeah.
a carrying capacity.
Like a quality, yeah. like your quality is guaranteed to like a certain point and then it starts to water down or like you'll get, you know, like run into it on social media. Like you make a post and then somebody comments and then you look down and you have over 1,000 comments. It's almost like beyond...
just noise at that point.
Yeah, you can't like respond or look at all those. Like you don't have time in your day to read every comment or the responses to every comment. So yeah, it makes sense that like there's just like a threshold that you are able to maintain your quality and your integrity and then be happy with that and not feel like you have to hustle.
Yeah. So that's definitely cool. And it's weird because you know, when we started the gym, we didn't have two nickels to rub together and you just do everything you can to make anything work and just hustle. And it's a little bit weird to get out of just like
hustle mode,
and just relax into, okay, I get to maybe be a little creative. And the weird thing about that though, is at this point, like I write good blogs, I do okay podcasts and everything, but disproportionately, like, I can put leverage into things with relationships at this point or, you know, like have a good idea. And so I really had to retrain myself or be cool with, okay, I'm helping where I need to help on a day-to-day basis, but I really need to just be like open to new opportunities that I can plug things together, like meeting Brad and the First Descent and Tap Cancer Out. So we ended up collaborating with those guys and helped promote Tap Cancer Out and got that whole thing in front of the Element, you know, community and beyond. And then the folks in Tap Cancer Out got exposed to Element and I ended up being their second place top fundraiser. The guy I lost to, whose name is Daniel Champion.
Okay.
So I was
You were doomed.
I was doomed from the beginning. I was just like, are you fucking kidding
me? His parents named him. You have no choice.
He's like super chiseled, good looking, black belt and everything. And then his name is Daniel Champion. I'm like, I'm just going to hang myself.
All of the winners.
But that was cool. Like that was, you know, and that's something that we're going to do every single year now. And I don't know what other.
And I think more people too from SBG will do it. Like Leah was like, oh, I wish I would have known about it a little earlier. I'll participate next year. So I think it'll be cool. We'll actually kind of make it a community driven thing.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, the thing you were saying about like what you want to do with Healthy Rebellion, you know, do you want to really put the effort into like really growing it, or are you happy with this like little community? That's a real problem, you know, as far as, and what I mean by that, like it's a good problem, but you start thinking about when something starts scaling out of, you know,
out of control almost.
Well, I mean, I don't want to start with out of control. Out of control would be like, you know, like where Rogan is at now. Like that's just,
that is out of control.
Yeah. But what I mean is for, and that's just like extreme example. But I mean, like we were just talking last night or the night before when we recorded an episode, about how, somebody was asking me, it's like, hey, I haven't seen a few episodes come out in a little while. Every time I get to a certain point where I start getting like, and this isn't a lot in podcast numbers, but when I get over like 5,000-6,000 downloads an episode and then I start getting more noise, like I have fun
like
doing
you
this.
Should talk about like, this, you or you know what you should do with your
comments,
podcast.
Yeah, and this and that. I'm like, well, screw you guys. I'm not recording any.
He goes, full firstborn. You're not the exactly. boss of me. And I'm like, what are we doing? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay.
And I think it's a little bit of a battle of figuring out like once you get to a certain size, you have to step up your like administrative, you know, aspect of like the business or the organization or whatever project you're working on. And then you have more people involved or want to be involved and more feedback and more noise, you know? And then, so, you know, having a small, you know, group, community like Healthy Rebellion, I could totally see where you don't want to, I don't want to say you don't want to spread it because it's really good information you guys are putting out there and you're helping people, but you may be averse to like, okay, I really want to go full throttle into like growing this, you know, and it's kind of cool. You have a community there and then a community from Element and there's probably some crossover, but maybe not like a ton, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, I grew up in a town that had 35,000 people. And so I think online, you just lose all sense of what is real.
Yeah.
Having the ear of 1,000 people is no joke. Like we have 1,000 people from around the world that pay us a chunk of money to be part of this community, and they seem to keep doing it and they enjoy it and like the feedback we get, particularly within this whole COVID deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of Canadians, and so they're
like,
just
man,
like
the one place they can
it's the one place they can talk about. Like, am I crazy seeing this? You know, and there's definitely a how would you say it? A worldview that is maybe a little dominant there, but it's not an echo chamber. People push back on stuff, but they do it respectfully. And you know, so it's really valuable and really cool. And so when we've talked about potentially scaling it, I'm like, well, we've got the Healthy Rebellion original. And then if something else pops up, it's going to be somebody else doing their own thing under the name, but it's like, you go grow it. And then this is still ours. Like,
yeah, that's good. Yeah.
We're not sure. Like we're also... It's hard because it could go 100 different directions, right? So it's like figuring out what is going to, how can, if we were to replicate it, like how can you replicate, like we've got some amazing people, personalities, and to start one from scratch, you know, what do you fill that with in the beginning so that it has the same attractiveness kind of, or I don't know how to say it.
What was the thing, I think it was something that Cresser mentioned, but it was basically everything's all focused on scale. It's like you want to grow everything and have millions of, you
10X,
know, 10X. Yeah, 10X. And there was this other thought that was like, no, just, and I mean, it's a little bit out of the book.
It actually, and I can't remember the title, but the concept is like not growing for growth's sake, like staying small for quality's sake.
Yeah.
Cultivating your, takes a lot of work and time and energy to create a place like that where you have 1,000 people, you're getting positive feedback. It's a respectful place to express opinions, which is almost impossible to find, I feel like.
It is, yeah.
And so you're right, like trying to replicate that, because it probably developed organically. Like, oh, we already have these inroads or this relationship. Let's turn it into this thing. how do you do that again and have the same result? Like, it's very difficult, I think, to replicate those things. It's not like a gym franchise where you're like 500 square feet, this many racks, this many barbells, this much mat space. Like,
yeah.
It's individuals, it's their personalities, it's their interactions with the other individuals that are at the top of the, the game. So I don't know that you can replicate those things.
That's been the thing that we come back to again and again. I'm just kind of like, this is probably it, you know, and it's great. And it keeps our team fed and watered and, you know, and we, before COVID, we were supposed to do, a retreat in Spain and do this like walking tour in Spain.
Camino de, not Santiago, but one of those like pilgrimage roads in Spain that people do. And then, and cause one of our members, one of our original members, she, is from San Diego and they moved their whole family to Spain in early 2019 or late 2018. And so they're living there. And so we had a person on the ground that could help coordinate.
Yeah.
And so everybody was excited. And then we're going to do it in the fall of 2020 and we're getting it all planned. And then the beginning of 2020 and then you know how that played out. So that never happened, but there's definitely a lot of people want to meet up in person. They want to connect. Yeah. Like,
so we'll bring them to the Flathead Valley and do something
we'll
here.
Do something.
Go Glacier.
Yeah.
I just got a message from one of our friends who's a strength coach out in, where's he, Oklahoma? Who? Bill?
He's in Indiana.
Indiana.
And, he's in Rensselaer.
Yeah. And he was an engineer and then decided to go full strength training mode. And his wife owns
she's a chiropractor.
Chiropractor office. So he just messaged me and he said, hey, we're thinking of coming out to visit you guys. We're still in the practice and, you know, we're looking at moving and whatnot. He said, seems like this like Kalispell place. Like, there's a lot of cool people, semi-famous moving there. I was like, no, dude, we're closed.
He's very sweet.
And, awesome. And the place sucks.
It's just terrible. Don't come here.
Horrible.
I said we were the last ones they let in.
Well, and like we have a bunch of people coming to visit us this summer. Like a lot. People are like, I'm going to come and see you and go visit Glacier. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Get in the line.
I know. Make sure, I'm telling them, like, make sure you buy your tickets as soon as it opens. Because otherwise you're just going to be like, oh, there's Glacier. You know,
but there is like this area is so unique where like the event like we're talking about with Element and with Scott and you know, coming up later at the end of the summer, the whole idea for it was he was in his group was like, hey, anybody know of any cool like events? Like, I'd like to get more involved and go into these like retreats and men's events and whatnot, because I just want to expand my horizons and what I'm doing with this business and this group. I said, dude, we should just host one here. I said, this is a destination area. And then literally just kind of like took off from there.
Yep.
And then when he said it on one of his episodes, he had a bunch of people reach out. Hey, we want to be involved. Like, we're, you know, like this and that. So we're very, but it's just so interesting, like as far as moving here and having the access to kind of everything that you have available, both what's in your backyard, like Glacier National Park, you know, you have Flathead Valley, the this massive lake, awesome jiu-jitsu, you know, great community of people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And even though like we're busy, I still feel like it's much more of a controlled, slower pace than where, like at least for us, like we were in Washington in the Tacoma area.
We worked 7 days a week. Oh, we did not have any time off.
It was nuts. Yeah. So
it was a constant.
Yeah. I think the pace of life here is a lot more just kind of even keeled. Although if you talk to people who were born and raised here, are like, it's
gotten a lot faster and crazier for them.
I try to tell them when I get a chance to talk to them, I'm like, you have no idea. Like, this is not crazy at all.
I feel kind of sad for everybody who's from here. Kind of the way, like, because being from Santa Cruz, like growing up there, like I know that my parents and everybody wants their kids to stay close to them. And as I grew up, I watched that just like completely disappear from the ability of like my ability because.
Oh, you mean by like cost of living? Mm-hmm. Whatnot?
And then just people moving into the area, traffic getting worse and worse and worse. Like
property values going. It's going to be prevent, you know, locals. Yeah. Children of locals.
Right.
And that you have to be able to work here. Right. And there's not a ton of industry.
And so. Everybody that's come in, we work remotely.
Yeah.
We travel, we do things at home, you know? And so that was a boon of COVID was it taught a lot of us that we didn't have to stay somewhere just for work. But I feel sad for the people that are born and raised here that are like, I can't even afford a trailer. Like that just, and I know that it's like, that's not my problem, but I just feel sad of them because I'm like, oh, I've been there. I know what that feels like. And I'm sorry because it would have been cool to be able to stay if California was cool, it would have been cool to stay here. It's not anymore. But
California used to be cool.
Yeah. It did.
Well, it's not just cost of living. I mean, cost of living, people will put up with cost of living if everything else isn't done.
Right, but it's
like the politics and the
infrastructure, you
know, infrastructure and the, schools, and the realization that like it's not just cost of living, it's that we're going to actively find a way to tax every aspect of your life. You know what I mean? Yeah, right. You're going to start chasing people off.
Right. Well, yeah. And right now it's just cost of living, I would say, here that has changed a bunch, which again puts people out. But I'm hoping that that we're able to hold off like the insanity that comes with a giant population boom.
They'll just send them all to Whitefish.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, there you go. Just take Kalispell's clothes, go to Whitefish. Yeah.
That send was them on down the road.
Well, this dynamic of Kalispell Whitefish is very similar to where we came from, Tacoma.
Seattle, Tacoma.
Well, no, it's Tacoma and Gig Harbor.
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
like 20 minutes apart, right? Yeah.
God.
And we had our gym in Gig Harbor. But
Gig Harbor.
Yeah. The golf place. Yeah, exactly. Oh. So it's only 20 minutes apart, but it's like a totally different world.
It's across a bridge.
Tacoma is more like blue collar and Gig Harbor is very bourgeois, you know, and yeah. It's
We were the minority. Yeah. Him Wife being, the wire, being the minority.
The only Arab in town.
People be like, oh, what are your kids? I'm like, humans? Yeah. And they're like, well, they look different. And I'm like, what does that mean?
No,
I was like, sweet. And then you go over to Tacoma and it's just like, very blue collar, very like mixed, and just it's really cool. It was Tacoma had a lot of really cool things about it. It just was in Washington.
Yeah. Well, you guys were in a cool spot. You were in Texas before you came out here.
Yeah, I did a hunting trip out there for a fundraiser for part of the SEAL Foundation, but it was
the families of operators killed in action.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was a fundraiser for their kids basically to go to school and got together with some friends and went to that hill country area. And I just thought it was super cool. Yeah. And I went out there in October. Mm-hmm. So it literally
it was cool.
Was cool. Yeah.
As cool as it gets.
that's why you guys are still in Reno, right?
That's why we were still in Reno, but I was just curious, you know, like I'm kind of, you know, intrigued by the whole Texas deal. I tend to do better when I'm closer to the equator, just like health-wise, like some of my gut issues and like photo period stuff just seem a little better.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then Reno had just grown a lot. We thought that we were going to be there for the long haul, but the girls were in a Montessori program that ended up being an absolute disaster. Like they weren't really doing what they were supposed to do. And then the public school scene there wasn't great. And I had been curious about, you know, Texas. And then it was right around this time too that Google, we were one of the first people that really got kind of decurated by Google within this health space. The OWL update.
Got like
Traffic just went like.
Our traffic dropped overnight by 97%. So our income dropped by 97%. And it was this weird deal where, which was the impetus for starting the Healthy Rebellion and trying to find these parallel structures to be able to still do what we were doing, but, you know, in a way that we're not beholden to, you know, Google and Facebook and all the rest of that stuff. So a bunch of things happened. Like the school scene kind of went south. Reno
the timing
had exploded.
Was just right. Because the kids were also young enough where we weren't pulling them away from like tight
super deep
friendships
and
whatnot. Yeah. So we're like, if we're going to give Texas a shot, like now's the time.
And I had met Michael Hines, who is a student of John Frankel's in Korea, and he wanted to leave Korea. His wife's Korean. They have two kids, and he wanted to open a gym.
That's right.
And he's from Dubuque, Iowa. And so I met him at a Henry Aiken seminar, and I was like, Dubuque kind of sucks, right? He's like, yeah, it's horrible. I'm like, no offense.
But Iowa.
Like, and so I said, you know, we're really thinking about the hill country of Texas. And it was like a hound dog, like his ears just perked right up. He's like, well, tell me more about this thing, you know? And so we made our way out there and I'm like, place is pretty legit. You know, in that hill country area, New Brunfels, where we landed, it was 45 minutes to Austin, 45 minutes to San Antonio. For like a young family just getting going, like that area seems super legit. There's so much stuff there. She has family there that we were able to reconnect with.
She has four kids.
So. They homeschool.
Oh, there you go.
That was nice.
Yeah. And we liked it, but like our kids grew up in Reno and it had four seasons.
We desperately missed the four seasons. Yeah. Fall is my favorite Like I just, something happens every year in fall. Like I just.
She actually gets happy for it's like just, a narrow it's just window of
all
time.
All is right in the yeah. world. And like there's oak trees.
A narrow window of
yeah,
time.
Like yeah. nothing really changed.
She doesn't hate
color
me
there.
For like a week or two. So, and the yeah. kids
oh,
were just
life.
Over it.
Yeah. They,
it, on Christmas Day, they were able to swim in our pool in the backyard. And no. they were like, that's kind of cool, but I want to be, you know, like playing mm-hmm. in the
yeah.
snow.
Yeah.
So,
I want to snow.
Yeah. I craved winter. I mean, like California, we lived in Northern California. So we did get rain. And I remember it snowed twice and it never stuck. But like moving to Washington was my first experience with like full on seasons. And it was just, I remember just the first day of fall because we moved there in April and the first day of fall, it was like,
oh, I saw the
first
pictures.
Day of fall yeah. on the calendar. And I walk outside and it was like red. And I was like, and I like breathed like in and I was like, it smells and, yeah. like fall, like instantly. It was like yesterday was summer, today is fall. And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever experienced. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So I do, fall is special to me too for the same reasons.
Yeah. yeah. So
I just don't want to be hot.
Well, and Texas that's is not part. A good.
And like yeah. we met so many wonderful people in Texas. Like right. it was a great. We were only there for 18 months, but sure. I'm thankful that our yeah. path like went that way.
Yeah.
I mean, we love where we are now, and I think Kalispell is where they will put dirt on us. But
yeah.
like that path was great. But I will say like. Having scorpions in your home and all of that. Like I'm not, I don't
well,
miss
in the hill
of it.
Country is like relatively not buggy, yeah. relatively not hot, yep. relatively yeah. not humid. So everybody we met in Texas are like, this is the best part of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
everything else sucks.
Oh, so everything else is hell.
Yes. See, and that's the thing is like, they're
that
like,
joke? Everything's trying to bite you or eat you.
Yeah. yeah. Australia. Yeah. Like don't go to Australia. Yeah. It's like that idea that like, well, this is the best part of Texas. And you're like, what does that say about the rest of Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh man.
yeah. Like okay. This is and I mean we've been to Texas in. I want to say we've been there in the fall and in the spring.
Well, your sister and brother-in-law were.
Yeah.
Our brother-in-law was in the Army and he was stationed out there in Fort Hood.
Killeen.
So they were
so
in Killeen,
near Austin.
Awesome part of Texas.
Right.
Oh. I feel like this episode is just going to be like us shitting on different parts of the country. Raw thinks Iowa's dog shit.
look. There are beautiful, but like the hill country in Texas is beautiful yeah. because there's hills. There's things there besides just.
Yeah. I'm going to wait to release this till after Rob goes to Texas.
I know. Please do.
It's coming up.
It's true that there are hills, but like coming from Northern California.
Yeah.
Coming from
like,
mountains.
It depends on yeah. what you've seen.
Like
as
Sierras.
A hill.
No, it's like, true.
It's yeah.
I know. My mom was from like the San Joaquin Valley and she was like, oh, the mountains are claustrophobic. And then we'd go to the San Joaquin Valley to visit her parents and I'd be like, there's too much sky. Because we were raised in the mountains. So it was yeah. like redwood trees, mm-hmm. hills.
Well, I remember the first time we went to Alaska and I was
gosh.
You know, and I'd been to Tahoe and been up to like the Sierras and stuff. But then we went to Alaska and I was like, oh, these like go through the sky. I'm like, this is like, it was like massive. Like
you don't realize
never
how big they
like
are
that.
To you actually get to the base of one of them.
Yeah,
because like, you're like, oh, there's Denali. You're 300 miles away.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, there's Denali, and then you drive up to the bottom of it, and you're like,
yeah.
oh shit.
yeah.
Which is really cool. It's beautiful up there, but this is our happy medium,
yeah,
lower 48.
This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, for sure.
So, how have you found the balance of homeschooling? Because we get this question a lot. Homeschooling, running your own businesses, right? Working separate, but also working together, right? Mm-hmm. And then your own activities and keeping yourself sane. I mean, that was like a loaded question.
No, it's a lot.
We actually talk about this a fair amount because
yeah.
I think
because you do a podcast together too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When people think about homeschooling, they think that it's going to be like a normal school day from like 8 to 3, right? But as you guys know, like it doesn't take that much time to get them through their schooling. So for us, the biggest challenge is like, what do we do with them when the schooling is done and we have our stuff to do? And I don't want them just like, you know,
knocking on your door.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah. Exactly. They're like trying to, they want attention, obviously. And so like that has been, and we haven't really solved it 100% yet. And I think it's just going to be a morphing thing, but
okay. I feel better now.
Yeah. Honestly, that's the hardest thing. And I wish, and I don't know, maybe you know some of this, but like, so I really want the girls to have something that they can sink their teeth into, that like projects and stuff. So like mm-hmm. after they get their main schoolwork done, it's like, okay, go work on your thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zoe likes building things. She likes working with her hands. I think if my dad lived here, if we had like a woodworker mentor person, like to give her some basic skills, she would spend hours doing that or training animals. Like she has a couple of kind of interesting mm-hmm. passions. And we haven't figured out a good way to equip her so that she can independently do those things that would then not only be like super enriching for her, you know, she could sink her teeth in and be really focused and, you know, so that's what I would love to find that for them both. Yeah. And I think it would solve that problem of like, okay, now they're underfoot and we still have to get this stuff done and they want to play or they want to do something.
For sure.
We can't quite do that.
That's probably the biggest thing dangling out there right now. Like, I guess we were lucky that we had worked together for years and it, our relationship is good in that we wouldn't do well with a long distance relationship. Like, it would probably fragment it and make it not work. I have a friend of mine, Steve, that I grew up with, and I tease him like he was 20 years in the military as a pilot. So he was gone and now he works for FedEx. And so he's always gone. I'm like, so you and your wife don't know each other. Like, you guys are still strangers, basically, you know, it's like, you know, conjugal visits to have a couple of kids and that's it. But so entirely different than our dynamic, where it's like literally underfoot with each other, and we work together, and
the kids are underfoot. And the kids are underfoot. Just a swirling mess of.
But we had, but we had definitely like kind of stair stepped into that. Like, we started the gym together, and then we did a lot of traveling. We did different things, and you know, we got to kind of, I guess, plan a little bit, and you know, eased into it. But yeah, it's definitely the frustrating thing right now. Like, if we live out a little ways too.
Yeah.
So I have this idea. I'm like, oh, if we lived in like a neighborhood, then maybe there would be more kids immediately available to play with, but maybe, maybe not. Like, we lived in a neighborhood in Texas and it didn't really pan out spectacularly. And
yeah, it's kind of
that regard.
Yeah. You never know what, are there going to be kids? You might,
are there going to be kids,
you
know, around? Like, are they homeschooling or not?
Older, you know? And the kids are already out of the house, or the kids are in school all day, or it's a family where the parents don't mind that their kids are like on devices for 8 hours on a Saturday, you know? Right. So it's like, no, I don't really want you to go play with them. You know?
I feel like everyone that, you know, that like, oh, when I was young, when I was your age, kind of that golden era thing. But like, we did that, like, come back home when the streetlights turn on kind of deal. Right. Like, and I grew up in, like, my mom called it suburbia in the mountains. So it wasn't like a neighborhood with like a cul-de-sac, but I could walk like up, hike through my backyard and there was a friend, or down to the library or over to this way and there was a friend.
Well, you had a vineyard literally across the street from your house.
Yeah. Which we knew the vineyard. I mean, it's still there. My parents' house is still there, but like, we were friends with them.
Yeah.
So we'd go over there. Or we'd walk up to the cemetery, which is two houses up, and everyone's like, "Oh, cemetery!" But it was like,
everybody loves the cemetery.
It's not creepy, and like, when you grow up going there all the time, there was a couple gazebos, and like, I knew people that were buried there, and so being raised in a church where like everybody goes to all the funerals and all the weddings and all the baptisms, like I knew all of them, so I didn't have that weird thing about like death and ghosts. So we would go, you know, go up there and play and whatever, but we were homeschooled too, and so. And everybody that we knew or were friends with was either through homeschooling or through our church. So my parents were like, you can play with these people. These people are fine.
Yeah.
You know, and in our experience with neighborhoods, like when we first moved in here, there's a couple kids, but they're a lot. So it was really interesting. In Tacoma, there was like one other boy and he was 3 years younger than Elias and it was all girls. And then right before we moved, another little boy moved into the neighborhood, like a couple of months.
They became like fast friends. They're like, hey, we're leaving.
It was such a bummer because they'd moved from Idaho. Yeah. And then we move here and it's three boys that are Elias's age, but like no kids that are the girl's age. And then we've got a neighbor near us and they're always fighting. Our kids are always fighting because they're throwing things or it's like this. It's like a constant thing.
We're starting
like,
a feud.
Cool. Hatfield and McCoy is over here. But... so it is kind of a crapshoot. Like you're never
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't sat down and had a conversation. I still haven't met the parents of most of the kids. Like I've been like, oh, hi, over a fence, but I don't know them.
Right.
And so I'm like, you can't go in their house. You can play in the yard where I can see you, but you can't go in their house.
I have. It was like a week when we got here and there was like,
you met him.
Boys over there was playing basketball. And I told Elias, I was like, all right, go say hi. He's like, I will. I was like, well, go. He's like, I will.
He made him do
it. I said, listen, I said, you can go over there now. I said, or I can drag you over there and embarrass you. He's like, all right, I'm going.
He like stomps down the driveway.
10 minutes later, they're shooting hoops and playing.
Yeah, no, it.
Because it was important to get them like right away, like to get into, I mean, that was the whole reason why we had signed up and like committed at SBG for a year before we'd even gotten a house. I was like, because we had moved states before. And you guys know, you've moved a couple of times. It's really important to kind of get planted into something community-wise when you have kids. Even right as adults, away. It's good. You don't right want to just move yeah. somewhere and do nothing. Like my brother just moved to Austin and just outside Austin. And before I said, hey, what gym are you joining? He goes, I don't know. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? You're moving to Austin. I said, boom. And I sent him the link to On It. I was like, jujitsu, you know, weight training, yoga, whatever. I'm like, sign up now so you have something to do. So you don't just sit in your house all day because he works from home also. But he's not married. He doesn't have any kids. So
yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's homeschooling is a different animal because you're right. People assume that your school day is going to be 8 yep. to 3. It's 9 to 11:30 mm-hmm. with 5 kids. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. and then there's lunchtime and then we have quiet time, which is great.
So technically right now it's quiet. We actually had a big talk before you guys came yeah. over. I said, "All right, Mr. Rob, Miss Nick, you're coming over. We're going to podcast." Her daughter's coming. I'm like, "I don't know." I said, "If they don't, then I said, if they do, you guys can play downstairs." I said, "If you don't, then it's quiet time like normal." So from like 1 to 3, they have to go to their rooms. They can read, they can play whatever, but they have to. It's like chill time. Like
we
that's
need
their
quiet time. Maybe. Yeah.
Right. No, because yeah. growing up, it was nap time in my house, but that yeah. was because my mom. I was 11 when my youngest sibling
you had
was 24 born.
24 kids, so it's like
there were 9 kids in my family. I was one of the older ones, but like so nap time was like a thing.
Yeah.
And so it was from
yeah, there's always a baby
it was
napping.
1:30
yeah.
to 3:30. So with us, I was like 1 to 3 quiet time. That's when I do most of my like coaching work, online mm-hmm. coaching work is at nap time. And then it's great because they like our girls knit, crochet, craft. So Elias builds all the things, which there are a couple really cool things that Zoe or Sagan might really enjoy. Is it Zoe that likes to build? Mm-hmm. Okay, so
what's that one called that we have?
It's called Eureka Crate.
And oh, yeah, they're the like crates.
It's okay. So Elias yeah. has built a wooden desk lamp and he built a locking mechanism.
It's
box.
Like a pneumatic safe. Mm. Yeah, okay. That huh. actually like kicks open and close. Yeah, it's pretty
and they
cool.
it's once a month, so it's not yeah. all time consuming and it doesn't take a soup, but it's for older kids, so it might okay. take her a little bit longer because it's for like teenagers. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool. Like he has this yeah. it's like articulating desk lamp that just sits and just like
yep.
Oh, that's really
all
cool.
the wiring and stuff. And then so we did that for Christmas this year. We've done it before in the past, but like Adelaide's crafty, so she has the maker crate. Elias yeah. is engineer minded, so I got him the Eureka crate. Mm-hmm. Calliope loves to cook, so she has the yummy crate. And Reagan Ireland has
like threading or
it's
sorry,
like
not
soap
threading,
making.
Yeah. Soap making, that's
things
right.
like
they
that.
Made
like,
soap, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm. So it's really fun. And that is one of the ways like they do have science experiments that we do one experiment, like a lab every week. Mm-hmm. It's just that they need us for that.
Right.
With these, we're yeah. like,
do it on your own. Yep.
Go be a chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're like, look what I did. And it's super cool. And it's neat because it teaches, I think, in my opinion, it teaches them to problem solve. Sometimes they need help.
Well, and entertain themselves. Too,
and entertain themselves. Yeah. And also, thing. If they like bicker, it helps them work things out too. Because it's really tempting as a parent to like get involved in all the things. But then they have no idea how to problem solve. Mm-hmm. In their own relationships. So it's been, I mean, I'm a fan of it. I
yeah, if they show yeah. interest to you in something, then I'll, like the girls right now have gone into various levels of like crafts, whether it's mm-hmm. knitting or sewing or cross stitching or
bracelet making,
whatever. Mm-hmm. Anytime they really kind of go or drawing, like Phoebe's into drawing right now like crazy. So then when they do, I'll go run them to one of the craft stores and be like, all right, we got $50, go buy whatever you want, you know, and then they'll get a bunch of stuff and then it keeps them busy for like, you know,
a week.
Yeah. Not longer than that. But like they have enough where like one week they'll go like hard on the
paint
with
this.
No,
it's true. It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but don't get me wrong. They're still like, we'll be like yesterday we were going through paperwork for like our financial advisor. And then I hear this like screaming and yelling and door slamming. And they both come upstairs and say, what was going on? I'm like, she wouldn't look at my stuff. I'm like, she wouldn't look at your stuff? Like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know, one had made something and she wanted to show the other one. The other one didn't want to see it. And
this is the twins.
Yeah. The twins. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, that is that filling up that time that you have extra because they're not in school.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Like, I would love to take them to do 4-H and like animal care and because there's engineering and all that stuff in 4-H too, right. But you are very, you have to do it with them if they don't right. know how. So,
right. And yeah. So Zoe's really, she's also very into all things. And this is something that when she was like 3 or how old were we? Yeah, she was 3 when we moved to that, we moved in Reno to a property that was on 2.5 acres and had a couple of sheds. It was a horse property, but mm-hmm. we didn't have horses,
right.
But a couple of existing kind of barn sheddy things. And inside one was like a rabbit cage. And she was like, she would she loved this cage. She was like putting things in the cage, and then we ended up getting chickens. Like, she is so into, and so she watches, she's on this kick where she really wants, thinks she wants a macaw or some kind of a bird that she can like flight train and do all this stuff.
First
it was hamster, then it was guinea pig, and now she's really into, and I'm like,
I know, like, you're like, that's bird. Just so much time.
For a while it was a husky.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And then it's gone to the point now where she's gone off rails enough that I'm like, could we go
get
back
a husky?
To the husky?
Yeah.
But it's great.
Like, or a kangaroo.
I have her do all the research. She researches everything. Like, she was really into hamster, but then she was like, Mom, they're nocturnal and they like go all night long and then I'm not going to be able to sleep. Yep. And so like, she's talked herself out of a couple of different things, but I see her working with animals in some capacity, training them. So
that's really cool.
4-H is another great, and I looked into it when she was kind of in the horse mode, and you have to have your own horse or you need to lease a horse.
Yeah.
So it was a little more than I wanted to get into at that point. But
you can do it with chickens. You can do it with rabbits. You can do it with all goats and all kinds of things, which of course that's like, I just said it in order of the most involvement. Chickens. Yeah. So much easier to do than rabbits.
Yeah, we had chickens in Washington.
Less easy, and then goats. But that's still, I mean, entry level or whatever. But yeah, no, and I love having animals. I just don't like having pets. It's really weird. But I don't want a pet.
Yeah.
But I loved having chickens. Mm-hmm. They're so entertaining.
I loved having chickens,
and they're
too.
Super fun. And then you get really good eggs, and then you get really good meat. And yeah, I don't know. 4-H is cool like that, but yeah, you have to have, especially large animal, you can't just be like, can I go play with somebody else's horse?
Right.
No, you have to have your own. And so.
Is your schedule better now that the girls are at the other gym now versus when you were coming into town? Like every
It is
day?
A lot better.
Yeah.
Because it was like, all day. I remember we talked, like you'd come in for noon class for you guys, and then you had this like 3-hour gap, you know, and then their classes. Yeah.
And frequently we would go home
because
we had the dog. So, we'd go home, do whatever. And then it was like one of us would turn right around and
quick
take them back in. And Fork is literally like 12 to 15 minutes, depending on weather.
Sure.
So it's so much more convenient.
Yeah.
Are you guys, are they doing the Helena tournament coming up?
No.
But Sagan just got bumped up to Submission Samurai.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah. So
sweet.
Zoe's taking a break from jiu-jitsu. She doesn't love it. And we fought that for a while. Like, well, we committed to this and you're going to see it through. But it just became this. It was like she was dreading it 2 days before, and you could just see her whole aura would sag, and she would just, it was just like she was dragging, and it was, everything out of her mouth was like, oh, how much, 2 more days till jiu-jitsu. Like it was just, I'm like, okay, I didn't want her to quit,
right? Sure.
Like there's this piece where you feel like you want to teach your child that like, if you sign up for something, you see it through. But at the same time, it was making, she wasn't the only miserable one because we were having to deal with it all the time. So I'm finally like, okay, I'm not going to force you to do this. I don't want you to hate the thing. Like the whole point is that it should be enjoyable and a good outlet. And if it's not for you, then maybe we'll revisit it later.
So
Sagan's really liking it. She, like Rob said, just got moved up to Submission Samurai. So she'll start going also on Fridays. And I think she's going to compete in the Gorilla Cup.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, because they have comp team with Submission Samurai, which is fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see like our kids, just watching them compete is really fun.
Yeah.
Just because it's, there's like an intensity in three of them. Elias is very chill. He's still a chill fighter.
Apparently not.
Oh, really?
But because we don't watch them when they go in the leadership, when they spar.
Right.
Because they go in the room.
What I've seen is it's just really fun to watch them like kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
For me, I'm a competitive person, so it's fun. And I'm not like, kill them. I'm like, that's really cool to watch my kid get better at something versus like, I don't want them to be violent and angry and terrible. I just want them to be proficient at what they're learning.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun to watch them be fast and really good.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool to see. So, and they all like it. Like, we did have Phoebe the other day go, can I go to ballet in real life? And I was like, oh, yes, you can. You can do that. Because she's four.
She's four.
Yeah.
She's four.
Yeah.
And she only goes twice a week to SBG, so she could still do ballet and other stuff as well, too.
Yeah. But she had last week, I don't want to go, was where she was at. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't make her go last week. She was fighting me to even get her gi on. I was like, oh, I'll give you a break. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
and I think, like with any sport, I agree. Like we want to teach them like follow through.
Yeah.
But there are kids, their parents are big into jiu-jitsu, but the kids aren't because they don't like being that close to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like
your parents like that.
I don't mind smashing you. But.
And I don't think that was it for Zoe. Like she, So when she got her, she did her Ironman for her gray belt.
Right.
And she had just been moved up to...
Well, she got juniors. Moved up to juniors
she's tall.
Early.
Because she's tall. Right. See, this is, yeah. I feel like, you never know like right. The course of things plays out, but she's right. very tall for her mm-hmm. age. She's only 9. Mm-hmm. And so she got moved up to juniors because of her height. Mm-hmm. And those kids are big
yeah.
and strong. And a heavy. Lot of them have been, yeah. And so mm-hmm. then she did her Ironman and...
she got thumped she around got pretty
thumped
good.
Around. Oh, she got yeah. up, she hit her head, and so then she was crying. Thing. Another kid like kneed her in the nose, and so then like it was like a terrible. It was so painful as a parent
to watch.
She did
not enjoy it at all. Yeah.
It was awful, that and then sucks. She wanted to quit. Like,
yeah,
and I was like,
no, I would too.
Get back on the horse, yeah. you know. But I'm like watching the people in her group for a 9-year-old, but you know some of these.
But they're 11-year-olds or 12, yeah.
And I'm like, I wouldn't want to. You know, especially at the beginning of a match when they're standing up and doing takedowns, and like some of these kids are just like. You know, the snap down and the yeah. like, it's just like,
yeah, I'm like, they're going like hard.
If
in the paint,
I was her
yeah.
age and I don't know, like you, it takes a special kind of kid to sure. like, be like, okay, this is fun. I get it. Like it wouldn't have been fun for me. Mm-hmm. Like that part of jujitsu isn't, you know, I'm warming up to it now yeah. more, but like in the beginning, I was terrified mm-hmm. of that part of it. So,
yeah.
you know, maybe when she's older, she'll come back to it. I don't know. I don't know. Sagan is tall for her age also, but she fits in better. Yeah. Like, you know, she's 7. So she's in that age group where yeah, maybe the 9-year-olds are her.
Yeah, they are. Cause tall. They go to 10, I think. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like 7 to 10 is that age. And then yeah. it goes to 12, like 10 to 12 and yeah. then teens.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's developmentally.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Like somebody could be the same height as you and outweigh you by 25 pounds.
Totally.
Right. I mean, as an adult, we have the same issues, but as a kid, right. Like as an adult, we're able to integrate that a little bit more, I think. And sometimes, and sometimes we're not. But right. like as a 9-year-old going against potentially somebody Elias,
a 12-year-old boy,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Like
that's who takes you down hard.
It's a big
deal. Yep.
And but then you know, and that's what they're taught to do, especially mm-hmm. in an Ironman. That's a big deal. That's yeah. That's a big difference. Yeah.
So I'm, I don't know. Like I don't know if things could have played out differently had the circumstances been changed. But it, mm-hmm. you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So we're kind right. of like, let's roll with it. Like if she wants to. Come back to it in the future.
Yeah.
Obviously we'll be excited, you know, cause I do really feel like, and when they were little, we were like, oh, it would be great. You know, even before I started jujitsu,
right.
Rob was like, if we have girls, they're going to at least have a blue belt. Like we're going to get them to a blue belt before right. they leave the house. Like
sure.
that's a requirement of living under a roof. And so that was sort of like in our head. So then yeah. when this all came up, I was like, okay, so she might, you know, turn 18 and not have a blue belt, and we have to be okay with that.
Well, she's how old now?
She's 9.
She's 9.
She'll be 10 in May.
I mean, tell. I mean, she could like a couple years from now come back to when she's only 11.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And so. Her and Sagan will do yeah. stuff together at sure. the house, and I think a lot of it is, even though we talk about like you know John Frankel will wax eloquent and be like, you've got to love jujitsu more than winning, and it's like yeah, but you get a totally different dopamine experience when you tap
win.
Someone versus when you get tapped, and
yeah.
there's just a reality with that. And
yeah.
she's a lot like I was as a kid, I think, in that if I was good at something, I really applied myself, and if I wasn't, then I kind of just shrank away from
right.
it, and whereas like Sagan will actually pick the toughest kid in the class. They pick the people yeah. they want to do their matches with. She picks these kids that are fucking savages. And like the other day I was like, you need to pump the brakes on that.
Yeah.
Cause this kid, she kind of got her back folded up a little bit.
Oh,
and like
yeah,
it was, it was dodgy. And Cody, her coach, was like, I so respect that you go for the toughest person, but you don't have to do that every single time, you know? So like, there's definitely some, and that's more you. You're more of a competitor in that regard. I was more the tourist. It's just like, I like doing movement and, you know, experiencing stuff. And so
she's competing on Sunday.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, in Helena. Awesome.
Yeah, in Helena. Right.
Cool.
And,
oh God.
And I'm still figuring out, like, I have fun doing this, but like if I ever like really turned up the, you know, cause they're starting to get some more bigger guys in there, especially at night. Cause we started going to the evening classes too. Speaking of like balancing out like the kids' schedule and
balance.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were,
there
yeah,
is no
we
such
were going,
thing.
There was, well, there was a period that we were going like 4 days a week in the afternoon.
When Frankel was here.
Yeah.
We were going every day.
Yeah.
Cause Frankel is,
and then we
kind of
kept
fun.
That schedule for a little while. And then we noticed
our kids were like, hey, over here. We're still here. We're
well, like, you know, Elias is like, okay, I get it. I'm 13, but like,
I hate babies.
There's four sisters, you know,
and we get like, we started getting like multiple phone calls in the 1 hour that we were in class.
Yeah. So yeah, switched it up. But yeah, it's kind of the same thing where like, I enjoy really kind of figuring out like the nuance of it. And then I'm still figuring out finding the balance of like, how much to utilize like my attributes of strength versus how much to like really like hone this technique and then put those two together. And then sometimes I'll find like, why did I get rolled by that one? I'm holding back way too much. And then like I turn it up a notch and then it's the other way, which is like somebody telling me like, I don't want any part of that. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So it's a fun balance. I mean, you've been doing jiu-jitsu for how many years now?
Consistently coming up on 10.
10. Yeah. And you're a brown belt. Yeah. Do you ever go through periods where you're like, I just need a break? You know, or
I go through periods where I question why the fuck I go back to class and like, what am I doing? This is idiocy.
That's
'cause
you roll with Andy every time. That's why.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe that's where Zoe gets it.
Yeah. Could be.
No, Rob will be looking away and he's like, all right, buddy, let's go.
No, I'm basically his dance
Rob's
partner.
Like trying not to make eye contact. Yeah.
No, I just accept. I don't even try that because Andy is so good at ferreting that out. It's like it would be so much worse if he had to actually like go scrape me out of the corner. So it's just like, I just, we doing this today and we're doing it. And like, at least I'm going into it with a modicum of, you know, bravery or whatever. It's like, I know what's going to happen. So, yeah.
Oh man. That's
jiu-jitsu.
That's the first person I met that I am bigger than. And for a while there, I thought I was stronger than. it was like tossing me like a rag doll. I'm like, this is, okay, something's not working here. I gotta like relearn physics. Like, apparently you're not supposed to be able to do that.
You know? Relearn physics. Leverage, buddy. Yeah,
I know. No, but I go through that too sometimes where we go through like a spurt, and I'm only a 3-stripe white belt, but I will.
Third degree white belt, remember?
Where did we get that from? Who said that?
Somebody called Leah like a 2nd degree black belt or something like that.
No, it wasn't that. Somebody told, okay, so at one of, it was a seminar they were at.
I don't remember.
Somebody came up and told Leah, I'm a
3rd degree white belt.
3rd degree blue belt or something like
wasn't
that.
Wasn't it somebody in Costa Rica?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Like he like, I'm the world's best white belt or something like that. Yeah. I don't remember. Last year.
Yeah, that was funny.
Something silly.
No, but it's just like, I do too. I'll go through periods where you just need like maybe a week off or something like that, or just take a little bit of a break, or I don't know why. I go through these moments where I think it's like everything I do. Like I said, like podcasts, I'll go like gung ho with it, and then I'll just decide to take a month off. You know, after I go like when I really start getting into weeds with it, you know, I almost feel like, okay, I got to back out, you know, and just.
It's like a recovery week.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a deload.
So. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pivot,
for sure.
Pivot week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the, with the Element now too, right? You guys have started going into like that next level of like stratosphere of like sponsorships too. Like you guys are getting sponsoring like professional athletes now, but even like on the broader state, like on the NBA and things like that as well. How's that transition? Has it affected you at all as far as like what they ask you to do or what your involvement is?
Not super duper. And it's been interesting because I have I'm so not versed in like professional athletics or, you know, hobnob with those folks or anything, but like we just did a deal with Bradley Beal, who's, you know, amazing player for the Washington Wizards. He just got his own like Jordan Jumpman emblem made and everything. You know, he's pretty incredible guy. And so when we do deals like that, usually I'm one of the primary people on the call, which is kind of interesting because it's like, I'm just an idiot, you know, but
I love how you keep saying that.
You know, the founder's story and all that stuff. And what's been interesting about that is I actually end up being really valuable on that stuff. And I wouldn't have really predicted that. I'm like, oh, we need to bring somebody else in. And James is like, no, dude, you're kind of the guy on this. So it's been interesting where, you know, whether we're talking to an A-tier professional athlete or what was another one of the things? So it's kind of funny. We had sweated out Major League Baseball. Like Major League Baseball had their panties in a bunch because we're not NSF certified. Uh-huh. And we're like, we're not a supplement. So you know, we're not going to go through this process. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I was an analytical chemist. every one of our batches is triple analyzed anyway.
Yeah.
You know, GCMS, the whole thing. I'm like, we do more than what they do. And we're not going to do this thing. So we just wore them down, and there were so many athletes that were just buying it on their own dime and then using it. They were like, okay, fuck it. You know? And so they finally just like acquiesced on that. And that was kind of cool. Like kind of holding the line on that, where it's like, no, we would love to service you guys, but we're in the NFL, we're in hockey, and we do all this youth sports stuff. And honestly, like, we love dealing with professional athletes, but this isn't our core group. Our core group is just
everybody else.
And so that's been kind of cool too. Yeah. What's been neat, again, like having a team that allows me to do the stuff that I'm good at, but also really shining a light on our CEO, James Murphy in particular. Like, dude has just amazing emotional intelligence, great moral compass, amazing emotional intelligence. And if we don't feel good about something, he's like, okay, we're not going to do that. And the really cool thing is every decision that we've made thus far, and it's kind of similar to when we were running the gym. I remember when we were running the gym and we'd have a question about, should we do this? And it was like, is it going to be good for the clients? Will it be good for the gym? And then will it be good for the bottom line?
Good for the trainers, and then good for the bottom line.
And we actually, if it ticked all those boxes, then we went ahead and did it. If it only ticked two of those boxes, then we didn't do it. You know, if it was good for the clients, but it was going to be shit for the trainers and good for the bottom line, we wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And we did for a brick and mortar gym, it went pretty well. And James has had kind of a similar rubric in that regard. And so that's been really neat to see all that stuff grow. And I think, like, knock on wood, but I think we're one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies in the world right now. Like, it's just going like crazy, which is just fucking salt. So it's kind of nutty, but you know, it's
cool though, because it gets back to, like, it's just a basic, it's basic chemistry.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, Gatorade or this, that, and the other, or Pedialyte or whatever. And you're like, that's sugar and some magnesium and potassium, but like, it's salt. And everyone's salt is bad for you. And now it's going like the other direction. And what I found really fun was I'd met you guys and I'd had Element, and I have clients that I've had for a long time. And one of them goes, hey, I'm drinking this really cool thing. You want to know what it is? And it's like chocolate. It's like chocolate milk and all this cool stuff. And I was like, what is it? She's like, it's really cool. It's like Element tea or something. And I get it. And I
love,
like,
when they spill it out.
I know it's really cool. My friends make it. And it was just fun to see that, like, coming back this way versus like me telling people about it.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, this is really neat. You should try it. And I'm like, I have a lot of it. It's really good.
I had a cool experience. I shared it with the Element team where I was in Costco. I was wearing the Element hat.
Yeah.
And this gal came up to me and she's like, are you part of that company or what? Like, what's the deal? So it wasn't a Rob Wolf sighting. It was an Element.
It was the Element sighting,
you know. Yeah. And that was actually it was cool because we were super early in CrossFit, and so I remember there was like the first time that we were in a like an airport or something wearing a CrossFit shirt that somebody else was like, "Oh, so you do CrossFit?" And this was like 2004, maybe that, you know. So that was kind of interesting. And then I've had a little bit of notoriety between the books and the podcasts and everything. And, you know, occasionally I never get recognized in the DMV. It's usually more like Whole Foods or like there's very specific areas.
Yeah, it's very specific areas,
but it was kind of cool. This gal.
Didn't her daughter have, was it POTS? Or she had something where she needed.
Yeah.
And sodium was really helping her with whatever her health issue was.
So it was like even they were not members of the gym yet. It was somebody from SBG that had heard one of our POTS ads or you know, what we had POTS awareness last year, year and a half ago. They found out that her daughter had POTS. They gave her some Element, super helped with the POTS. And then they were like, well, how did you hear about it? Oh, I go to this Straight Blast gym thing. And then they joined the gym, and then the woman recognized the hat. And so that was an interesting thing. And I sent the first affiliate inquiry email ever to CrossFit, you know, and we opened the first and fourth CrossFit affiliate gyms. And so I've been early enough with enough things that I've seen it go from literally nothing to starting to get, you know, this kind of more global recognition. Right. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Do you recognize the difference with like what you were just talking about with your CEO and like the emotional intelligence? What do you guys choose to do between like where Element's going now versus, you know, not to throw anybody under the bus, but like where CrossFit started to go? And, you know, as far as like as they grew into notoriety, you know, and they didn't stick to that, like, hey, quality, you know, yeah, emotional intelligence, like, is it good for everybody involved? Like these decisions that were made along the way.
The yeah. CEOs of James and Greg Glassman yeah. could not be right. further.
They're not even the same species.
It's like a completely different species.
And that just shows you how incredibly sticky and wonderful in a lot of ways CrossFit is, that you could have a group of people that are that horrible of human beings. And they really are horrible human beings. Dave Castro, Nicole, all those people were just, it was a badge of honor.
To be a huge dick.
Yeah. And it was just this understood thing that if you were within that inner circle, that you were just a horrible human being. Yeah. And you're like, you really, the people who only made it so far up the chain of command, it was because they actually had some degree of morals and I'm not going to, you know, sleep around on my wife, because this was one of the things that you would do. They would encourage that type of behavior because then they had that to hold over you. And then, you know, it's like some sort of weird mafia thing. So yeah. So
see, I knew I didn't like CrossFit for a reason.
It also though speaks that if there had been any thought about like, we're going to make this win-win, we really want it to be good for, you know, the people who are making all this money for us and the trainers. And there would have been some simple quality control decisions that were made along the way that would have been good for everybody. And it wouldn't have...
Might have slowed the growth, but it could have been... had more longevity.
It would have certainly had more longevity, and I think that it could have branched into a lot of other areas for sure. It's fascinating to see that. But the thing is Glassman never thought that it was going to be successful. Like nobody was more surprised by the success of CrossFit than Greg Glassman. Thought it was, his deal was like, strip mine it, get as much out of it as quickly as you can, because it's all going to go south. And it just... He was in a mode of brinkmanship for years where he would just try to burn it down. Like it became this thing where he's like,
in spite of him.
Despite his best efforts. And so it shows how much love and passion and dedication and everything went into it. And it's kind of heartbreaking because we know a lot of people that like second mortgage on their house to keep the gym open and this and that. And that was the thing that was kind of, super shitty to see, you know, and the main thing, like really early on, she sat down with the spreadsheet and she was basically like, you can't do $99 a month, unlimited training, because you're never going to have a viable business.
No.
And you got to do like 50% of your income from personal training. You've got to be the most expensive thing in town. And this is where we developed this on-ramp where like you bring people in and when we encounter people and we talk about jujitsu and we're like, there's 600 members of the Kalispell gym.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people pay, you know, 20, I don't even know how much it is, but they'll pay four or five figures to have a lifetime membership. And people are like, they offer a lifetime membership and people pay that. I'm like, all the time.
Yeah.
And it's because it's huge quality and this thing doesn't suck. And literally anybody could do this.
Yeah.
It's just like, you got to put in the time and the effort and provide the value proposition there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I loved about, when I started trying to Element was, talking to other people, like I was just talking to Denver, he's down in Costa Rica right now. And I was like, hey man, how's it going? And, you know, they're 2 days into training.
It's the middle of the day yesterday.
Yeah. He's like, I've gone through sweating. Yeah. He's like,
five liters of water.
Yeah. And that was like halfway through the day. He's like 10 packs of Element just to stay hydrated right now because of that. That number one, the amount of training. Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then just, and of course he's down in Costa Rica and being in Montana. So there's that adjustment for your body of like switching over the environment that you're in, the training. But yeah, he was always, before I even really started using it, he was swearing by it, you know, as far as, you know, and it makes a huge difference from somebody who's, doing something active consistently, isn't just like prime athlete. It's like, no, I literally feel a difference when I'm on top of this too. And then I brought a bunch of it out when I went to the Firebase security I was doing, and we're out and it's like 95, 100 smoke and everything else too. And I've got these guys, a lot of them are former military. I started passing it out to everybody and the next day, like, hey, you got more of that, like, you know, that like salty powder stuff. I do.
Salty powder.
Yeah. So it's you get more of that instead of somebody speaking to it because either A, they know who you are and they just think it's good because of that or whatever it is. It's like, no, there's a tangible.
It actually stands for itself.
Yeah.
You don't need all the people to.
And it's so simple. Right. Yeah. Which is really
great. Really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a feeling early on it was either going to go great or it was going to be like a plane into a mountain. I didn't really think it was going to be any middle ground on it. So
you're like, we're selling flavored salt. Like how you know?
Well, I said from day one, I'm like, it's just fucking salt.
There's a couple more things in there too, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like, I think it's like anything else. I remember after I opened my first studio, I would get trainers that would come in and wanted to, you know, like contract out and work in the gym and whatnot. And I would get trainers come in and hand me, you know, all these different like certifications they had. And I'd have a 10-minute conversation. I was like, nope, like nobody's going to pay you. And it was more of a personality thing, right?
Right.
Which is it didn't matter so much how much you knew. I mean, obviously it matters to an extent, right? But if you can't get people to relate to you individually or to your product or like what it is, like it doesn't really matter what you know, like if you can't actually get anybody to buy into what you're selling, right? So. Oh, it's interesting. That's one of the things I really enjoy about business is finding that balance of like, you know, are we doing a product? Are we doing like, is it a brick and mortar gym? You know, like you mentioned MindBody and like instantly I cringed because I used it in my studio.
Yeah, I hate it.
I used it in 2010 and I was like, well, this sucks.
I do not use it now.
Yeah. And then I tried it again when we opened our gym in Gig Harbor. This was 2016. I was like, it's been 6 years. They made it better.
No.
Did a sign on for like a month. I'm like, nope, still shit and tossed it. Yeah.
That was the worst.
Yeah. So what's the next evolution as far as business goes with Healthy Rebellion? I know you were talking about you're trying to figure out, but what do you guys have coming up? I know you have the podcast, which is awesome because that does great. But are you getting going with trying to get events going again potentially now that the pandemic stuff is nationwide winding down? I mean, we live like.
You know, like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Out here.
Yeah.
But are you thinking
we're talking about going? Maybe doing something and having folks come here. Like in theory, I'm going on Rogan later this week and I'm excited on the one hand. And I'm just like, so
on
not,
the other.
I don't want to travel. I don't want to leave. I really like being home.
Yeah.
You know, we were on the road for ages, like 30 weeks a year traveling and everything. And it was cool. Like we got to meet a lot of people. It was a great opportunity, but spending two and a half years not traveling, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't actually like to travel.
Yeah.
So, you know, that in-person piece I think is really important, but we live in this area that people in Europe have going to Glacier and like this area as a bucket list thing. So, I think potentially putting together something
I'd,
like
I'd
that.
I'd like to. I feel like the trick is there's not a, like if we were doing something big, like you need an event venue. And I've been looking into it because I want to throw a huge party for his 50th birthday, even though it's past, but like I've been calling everything's booked out.
Right.
Because you have to find a place that can accommodate that, and if you're going to have any food, and if you're going to have a band, and you're going to have music, like it has to be, and everything's booked. Not only is it like crazy expensive, but like it's booked out. The whole Flathead Valley is booked out for all of 2022.
Oh wow!
More or less, you know, like there's one place, and I don't love the timing that they're giving us. So I feel like if we do like a big event, like we need to be thinking like.
Yeah, I mean, it's
from now.
Yeah, it's probably 2023 for sure.
Yeah,
it's not going to be this year. But I enjoy doing stuff like that. I just at this point, I'm kind of like, y'all can come hang out here, and I'll try to provide some value on that. But I'm not going there.
It's kind of how we are too, because we're not we don't have people wanting to like come see us because we're Rob Wolf, but we like family members or whatever. When we lived in Tacoma, we spent almost all 5.5 years driving to California to see family all the time. And so now that we're here, we're like, nah, we've done that enough.
Tick that box. Yeah.
You can come see me. Like that's where we're at. Cause it's just like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm so tired of that drive. And we've done it in all the different iterations too. There's lots of different ways to get there and we've done them all. So yeah. You're like, no, come hang out with us. It'll be fine. I promise. There's such cool things here. There's a big lake. There's a bunch of mountains. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Yeah.
I feel like now you have to, you know, you might have to go tap into reach out to the SBG family and just see who owns, like, who's got like 5 acres, and you're like, hey, I'll get Boone to cater, and then,
right,
yes, right. I don't know, we've already been talking to Boone about like, that's part of the plan. It's just trying to find a space
to
accommodate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I mention anything about Murphy's idea? The salt house?
Not yet. That will come later.
Yes.
Nikki's, I'm always like, sell the dream.
Rob's like, yeah, he'll.
I sell the dream, and then the dream happens, and Nikki's like, no, the dream needs to be done. And then we then we talk about it, and I'm like, huh? Okay.
She's like, that's a pile of shit. I said, yes, but just hear me out. Like, if we fix this and we move this and we clean this. It's not true.
No, you do have an uncanny ability to look at like garbage and be like, I can make a rocket ship out of that. And be like, no, you can't. And then you make a rocket ship out of it. So it's good. We're good.
I'll drag you along kicking and screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's wrap this up. We'll get you guys out of here. I know you've got more.
All the things to do today.
Yeah. But thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. I thought it'd be fun to talk about something different beyond just, I think we did a good job of steering of the COVID crap.
Staying away from the world burning down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
didn't even say Australia or Canada. We did say Canada, man. But still,
yeah,
it's been hard for us too because we're supposed to have a health podcast, but I feel like
it turns into
it's inevitable. Like we can't. It's so intertwined.
It's part of your health, your mental health, your mental, like that's part of your overall health. And I don't think that it's exclusive. I think they can exist together.
Well, I think to some degree that factored into a lot of us moving here.
Yeah,
was that ability just to get away from like the crazy and be able to kind of take back control a little bit more of your life, which is kind of what we talked about today, which is like, you know, having more control over your schedule and in your business and kind of what you do, you know, cause when we came from Washington, we were homeschooling, we were working from home. So those elements didn't change. That wasn't different. It was just all the other factors,
the external stressors made everything else seem, you know, untenable. Yeah. Yep.
One thing I've definitely noticed is if I live somewhere that does not have an interstate running through it, I'm pretty good.
Yep.
And once you hit 100%. Anywhere where there's an interstate attached to it, then it's like, I think quality of life starts declining pretty rapidly. So long as the Flathead Valley never develops an interstate, I think we're probably pretty good.
So we just need to figure out who's going to run for office to keep that from happening.
Don't look at me. I'm not doing it.
I got too big of a mouth.
I am entirely unsuited for that job.
What?
I was in high school voted most likely to be a cult leader. And when you look at like CrossFit, paleo and all this element. Yeah. We've got our own Kool-Aid, you know, it's like,
I love that.
Yeah. There's been a little, manifest destiny on that. So like, if I have to take that bullet, I'll do it just so this place doesn't go to hell.
Perfect way.
Well, we did talk about that with our kids because we moved here and our kids are getting stressed out by the politics because they pay attention. And I just said, we can't affect change out there without affecting change right here. So what we have to do is we have to be active here and that'll trickle down. And because our son was just getting like anxious. I was like, it's because in his mind, it was catastrophic. The things were the way that they were because he was 12. And when your pie is 12 pieces large, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. The older you get, the smaller the piece gets, the more you're like, oh, you have more like.
Yeah. Time. He literally freaked out when Biden won. I said, dude, you were born the year Obama won. And you survived.
You'll be fine.
You live to tell the tale.
Yeah, you live to tell the tale. I think we'll be good, bro.
But yeah. So it's that like. Yeah. And my mom would always said that. My mom's a poli sci teacher and she was always big on, you guys should be politicians. And I was like, Mom, I don't want to be a politician. Oh, I have a foul mouth. It's a terrible idea. So, yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.